Sabbath day, Sabbath year, Jubilee vision. Hear now how Jesus interpreted all of this, how he reminded those who would hear and those around him in his ministry what the meaning and purpose of it all is. Hear from Luke chapter 6. One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked some heads of grain, rubbed them in their hands, and ate them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some of it to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. And there was a man there with a right hand that was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might find an accusation against him. Even though he knew what they were thinking, he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And the man stood up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or destroy it?' After looking around at all of them, he said to them, 'Stretch out your hand.' And the man did so, and his hand was restored." The word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Holy Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be receptive to thee. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. Every seventh day, to refrain from daily work, to remember your Creator, to remember family and friends, and to remember your purpose, to study, to feast on things that you did not earn on that day, to pray, and to give thanks and to recollect yourself. And that every seventh year for the entire year, leave your fields fallow in whatever way that that is relevant to you or whatever that means to you, whatever your fields may be, to let others benefit from the work you did those previous 6 years, to trust that you have enough to carry you through to, whether you think you do or not. It comes on the calendar and you can't control it, ready or not. And then the grand vision of it all, the Jubilee vision, in every 49th year, seven squared, to return what you have that belongs to someone else, to return to your home, to share the wealth. Like the end of a long hide-and-seek game when all are called to come in free. Impossible call, don't you think? But it's still there for us to listen to. Why? Why all of this? Why a time repeated again and again each week without work, without distraction, with a chance to focus for a day, hopefully, or for a time, on what matters more, on what it takes to live in both a humane and godly way, to remember what you are made of, to remember who and what matters, and maybe once every few years to regain the pattern of rest that is so easy to lose, to recover a habit of learning and running the engine of your imagination on more than the fumes of fuel in an almost empty tank, to retool your direction, to reconnect with your Creator. Again, why? Well, for one, Because doing these things helps us remember who we are. Call it our identity. In the Bible's story of the very beginning of all that is, God, who is very, very busy, very active creating, who step by step in an ordered and productive way, who worked and then 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 worked. 6 days of work and then rested. God blessed the pause, that seventh day, and made something new out of it. But God's resting was not what came after the work was done, like it was Miller time or happy hour or the 19th hole. It was actually a part of the whole week-long act of birthing and shaping and upholding all that is. It was the seventh day of the first week. God's rest was part of the act of creation itself. God rested in order to behold, to give value to what had been made, to call it perfect. Now, that same story says that we are made in the image of that very God. And so we are made, in fact, to reflect God's rhythm of hard, productive work textured by regular, scheduled pause to behold what is and to see what has been done and to see the good and to renew what is. This is how we are our best selves. Because God did, we should. This is also the very beginning of holiness. For this rhythm of time in the first week of creation is the first thing that God calls holy. God does not call a thing holy or a person holy. God calls time holy. Time is not a race. Time is not what we endure between the beginning and the end of things. Time is of the very essence of things. It is the raw material that God uses for our redemption. It is where God heals us. Put in practical terms, this means that if we don't pay attention to how we live in time, and how we find time to experience the God-given rhythm of work and rest and reflection, we will be forever immature, no matter how sophisticated and successful we may appear. Let me try to put it another way. If time is the first thing that God calls holy, it is also the first place where we are to look in our own lives to be blessed. Our blessing does not come first from our accomplishments or from the outward successes of our family or from beating that sort of nanosecond edge to get that whatever it is thing done before anyone else does it so we can own the day. Our blessing comes in how the outward and inward parts of our lives interact. And the habit of Sabbath teaches us how. Because it reminds us who we are. Call it our identity. And because it reminds us how we are, call that perspective. The great tradition of Jewish thinking about Sabbath has said it in a rather pointed and beautiful way. We try to do this because to pretend to work harder than God is just plain presumptuous. We are not better than God. What made us think we were? What treadmill did we get on that made us think that we have to outrun God in order to catch up to ourselves? or to meet our dreams, or to do our job. The truth is, we can never do enough. So maybe it's better to keep perspective instead. As much as we're called to make a good and holy life and to redeem the time that has been given to us, we must still do whatever we can to remember that we don't really make ourselves. There is simply no such thing as a self-made person. Jewish writer Ismar Schwartz wrote it this way: to rest is to acknowledge our limitations. We cease our power to tinker and transform. Willful inactivity is a statement of subservience to a power that is greater than our own. If I'm honest, though, I'll admit that I find that idea of subservience kind of strange. For I'm taught to be a modern, achievement-oriented person. Maybe you are too. I'm taught to believe that through energy and effort and a lot of caffeine, I can gain the things that are in my best interest. Those things that fulfill my calling in life and that help the people I love. I want to believe that it is in my power to tinker and transform and be free. I want to believe that I am not subservient to any power other than the basic limitations of circumstance or my body or whatever it is that sort of in the moment limits what I can do, but I can still barrel through it all. And I want to believe that every obligation I have chosen freely. But I also know somewhere in my heart that that's kind of a lie. I kind of know that there's a deeper truth. Now, let me be clear. Sabbath rest is not a denial of duty or a flight from work. It is a chance to put our responsibilities in perspective. So maybe the greatest achievement of all in life is to acknowledge that there are realities deeper and powers greater than what we have or what we do or what we want. Because that reminds us how we are, which we can call perspective. And so all this talk about Sabbath and about this Jubilee vision is there also to remind us why we are. And we can call that justice. For any one of you would be perfectly justified to challenge every single thing I have just said. All you need to do is to point to just one example of a parent who is doing everything she can nobly, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, to take care of her children. Not everyone has the luxury of a day off every seven, or even an hour or two here or there to rest and reflect. And not everyone has the resources needed for refreshment or perspective or study or prayer. And that is quite right. But that awareness is built right into the tradition of Sabbath in Scripture. For Sabbath and that strange dream that we call Jubilee were never imagined to be only about the people who can enjoy them easily. They were always meant to be gifts for the whole world and meant to be lenses through which we are called to see the whole world. They're meant to be a down payment on God's vision for how we should make our wider society for everyone, and how we should learn to live with each other. For it was always clear already in the book of Exodus, even in the passages read in your hearing this morning, that those with power are to create the conditions of Sabbath for all, for you, for your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. We don't force others to work so we can rest. We let others rest too, so they can discover their identity as God's creatures and regain Sabbath perspective too, so they may have the same dignity that we desire for ourselves. So in the call to Sabbath, the people are told to leave fields unharvested so the poor may come and take food for their own storehouses. And in the years in between those rhythm of seven, just like during the work days of the week, the farmers were called to leave their fields entirely untilled or unharvested so the poor and also the animals could come again and take what they need. And we're also taught that the reason the Israelites were told to leave their fields unharvested rather than harvesting all of the fruit of their fields and then distributing the excess themselves was so that the poor could have what they needed without having to beg. And this is because no one of us owns everything that we have. Some of what we have, some of what we have earned and what we own, some of the talents that we have developed, some of the work we do is not for us. It is for God and for God's work. It is for others. It is a trust to give away with grateful hearts. And it is only in pausing that we can see what is truly needful and see who is in front of us and perhaps get a little sense of what we might be called to do. And so our Jubilee. We don't know if that Jubilee tradition was ever really accomplished in ancient Israel, but it is a beautiful dream that in some regular pattern, debts will be forgiven, things borrowed will be returned, relationships will be restored, and all may start again. It is a beautiful vision of a forgiving and grace-filled creation. In the Jubilee vision, we are all reminded that we are in this together, and we are all dependent more on the one who made us and on each other than we are just upon ourselves. So it's about our identity. It's about our perspective. It's about justice. Sabbath blessing to you all. Amen.